Good morning, Silver City. We're broadcasting live from downtown Silver City at the office of the Gila Members Community Radio, KURU. And we are going to be giving to you a pre-recorded interview that was done with State Senator Peter Wirth, a Democrat out of Santa Fe County. He has introduced some legislation that pertains to the Gila River and the Gila River Diversion Project. This was recorded last Monday at the beginning of the state legislative session and will lead us into a press conference that will be coming up here in about 15 minutes with our own representative from Grant County, State Senator Howie Morales. So in about 15 minutes, we'll hear that. But for right now, we'll bring to you a interview that was conducted with State Senator Peter Wirth, Democrat out of Santa Fe County, in regards to the Gila River Diversion Project.
And this is Gila Members Community Radio, 89.1 FM, and this is what community radio looks like.
Welcome to Earth Matters here on Gila Members Community Radio, KURU 89.1 FM. This is Allison Civic, Executive Director of Gila Resources Information Project, and I'm your host for today's program. We're broadcasting today from the Roundhouse, the state capitol in Santa Fe. The 2014 legislative session began yesterday, January 21st. It's a short session this year, 30 days total, and will focus on the budget. However, Governor Susana Martinez, in her State of the State address yesterday, said that water infrastructure is one of her priorities for the session. Although the specifics of how she proposes to spend any capital, what water project she has in mind, remain unknown. We expect that a number of water-related bills will be heard this session. And important to us here in southwestern New Mexico is what happens this year on the Arizona Water Settlements Act and the Gila River. Under the AWSA, New Mexico must notify the Secretary of the Interior by the end of the year whether it intends to move forward with a New Mexico unit or a Gila River diversion. This year, there are two bills that relate to this decision. Joining me today to talk about these bills is Senator Peter Wirth, Chairman of the Senate Conservation Committee and the sponsor of Senate Bill 89 and Senate Bill 90. Good morning, Senator Wirth.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us. It's the first time we broadcast here from the Roundhouse, so we're really excited about that. So tell our listeners, why are you putting forth these two bills, Senate Bill 89 and 90?
Well, I think it's part of a ongoing discussion at the legislative level about water. As you mentioned, the governor, unlike last year and this year's State of the State, she mentioned water, but only did so with respect to capital outlay projects. And as you touched, at the legislative level, we really don't have a sense of what those are and where that's going. With so many key water issues in the state, we are going to continue to look at the overall issue and look at problems and solutions. This year did, as you mentioned, introduce two bills related to the Gila. And while it is a regional issue, certainly down in your part of the state, I think it's also a statewide issue because the decision that the ISC is about to make is one that really will impact the overall state and the direction we go on water policy. We've got two clear choices on the Gila. Do we do the $82 million in non-diversion projects, which in my opinion are a roadmap for conservation alternatives in this state, or do we build a diversion? I guess the third could be we do both or some combination of both. But in the case of the Gila, I think the amount of water we're talking about for the diversion is such that causes real concern. The cost causes real concern of the diversion, and we can talk about those two pieces. And so the two bills we've introduced are designed to send a clear signal that the legislature wants the ISC to spend the $82 million on non-diversion alternatives. Let's do these projects. This is federal money on the table. Let's see how they work. Let's use them as a model for the rest of the state. And then, assuming somehow there's a desire to move forward with a diversion, and most importantly, there's money other than state money to do a diversion, that discussion can happen. But we need to do the non-diversion projects first, and really from a fiscal standpoint, the second bill you mentioned, Senate Bill 80, basically says let's not move forward with a non-diversion project when we only have 40% of the dollars.
Right.
You know, it's $348 million, and we have these two allocations from the Arizona settlement, which best case are about $160 million, I think, somewhere plus or minus, if you put all the money for the diversion, not even half the cost. So this is an interesting and very important decision, obviously, for the southwest corner of the state, but I also think it's a critical discussion for the whole state of New Mexico as we move forward.
And that's because the shortfall in the cost of construction cost of building a diversion could potentially fall to the state taxpayer. Is that right?
Absolutely. I mean, again, if we move forward without having some clear understanding of where the money's going to come from, I would hate to see a situation where $200 million plus, and again, these numbers always start in one place, and I don't think they're gonna go down. But $200 million for what I think at the end of the day is 7,500 acre-feet of water. You know, there's all this talk about 14,000 acre-feet of water with a diversion, but really it's only 10,000 acre-feet because of the way the river is structured in the San Francisco, so 10,000 acre feet. And then when you factor in evaporation, you're down to 7,500 acre feet. It's just not a lot of water.
Right.
To put it in perspective for your listeners, so below Elephant Butte Dam on the lower Rio Grande, obviously a different system, but just to kind of put the water in perspective, because there's been so little water in the Rio Grande, farmers there have been pumping out of the aquifer 280,000 acre-feet of water a year. That's out of the aquifer. That is just staggering when you look at the difference in those numbers. So again, I just think that I'm not, and I need to say this because I think it's important, I am not per se opposed to every and all diversion. I think here in Santa Fe, we are very lucky to be able to have the water from the San Juan Chama project, and our Buckman diversion has provided our city with an alternative Colorado River water that has allowed us to have water in our river here.
Right.
So as we move forward, I have taken the position that, you know, everything has to be on the table when we look at each individual project on a case-by-case basis. I've looked at this project, and for me, it just doesn't pass the test.
And, you know, how realistic is it for people to expect the state to pick up the shortfall? I think, you know, we've seen over the last 10 years, here we are a matter of months before we'll have a preliminary decision by the ISC in August, a final decision in November. But, you know, the ISC still can't say who the end user will be. And we've heard differing comments from the ISC. The ISC director told the Interim Water and Natural Resources Committee a couple years ago, we'll be coming back to the legislature for an appropriation. But then we also heard the deputy director say, no, the end user will have to pay for this water. So, you know, it's still the elephant in the room, or the closet, I should say, that nobody really wants to talk about. And I think because this is the history has been with Western Water, that somebody else always picks up the tab. How realistic is that in this, you know, current economic climate?
So let me put it in perspective. There's been a lot of discussion about what we did on the Pecos watershed, which was to walk in and pick up the tab. Just as you say, the state spent $120 million basically buying water rights, drilling wells to put water in the river to meet compact delivery there. Very controversial. Many members here felt that we should have allowed the priority appropriation system to work and play out itself, let the market dictate. That is Western water law. That's New Mexico water law, but we spent $120 million. So last session, we had bills to spend the same amount of money on the lower Rio Grande. And again, to go in and have the state taxpayers start buying up water rights and basically avoiding putting the law in place. There was a lot of resistance to that because what kind of precedent are we setting? Let me say this. I think as we move forward, the extent of this drought is so significant that the state may well be in a position where we are going to need to continue to allocate dollars for water. In fact, you know, the governor talked about capital projects and capital money going for water. And so it is a discussion that needs to happen. In the pot of money that we have, however, with all the other needs in the state, crying out for dollars in education, healthcare, to all of a sudden have a huge pile of the state budget being allocated for a 7,500-acre water source rather than going for all the infrastructure needs in the rest of the state, to me, doesn't make good fiscal sense. And so I think, as you say, I need to know where the dollars are going to come from. Because again, let's not forget, here's $82 million of this pot of money, which we can use right now to do these non-diversion alternatives. And it's agricultural conservation, it's municipal conservation, it's watershed thinning. This is exactly what we've been talking about. And when I sat down and looked at the list and looked at the amount of water that's projected to be created by doing this conservation, what's interesting is it's three times the amount of water that we get through the diversion. So again, here's the choice. We've got federal dollars sitting on the table. Our federal dollars certainly are part of that, but it's not going to cost the state taxpayers anything more that could do these non-diversion projects and create 28,000 acre feet of water, if my math is right, and I was trying to be conservative and adding it up. Or we take all that money, don't proceed with the non-diversion, leave the forest unthinned, dangerous for fire, don't go in and help with all the conservation, and we basically get 40% of the cost of a diversion, and that's probably, you know, being extremely generous. Because once you start building, these things have a way. I mean, look at that tunnel in Boston.
Right.
You know, it started one place and ended up with the taxpayers on the hook for massive amounts of money. Again, I think you can look at this from a whole number of windows, and every time I look through, it just doesn't work. And we haven't even talked, Allison, about the, you know, the importance of the Gila River itself. I mean, we've got a whole economy that's based on that river. I've been a sportsman all my life, and you know, when the sportsmen come in and they say, look, this makes no sense, it's going to impact our economy and our business dramatically, I listen to that. And so, you know, we've got the last free-flowing river in the West, and I just think that, well, the temptation to have a tiny pile of federal money and the temptation to have quote-unquote new water certainly can drive the discussion. We're now at a point 10 years after this started where the decision has to be made, and this particular legislator thinks it's a pretty easy decision. So these bills are introduced to interject this whole decision into the legislative process and see what direction we go. One thing for your listeners to understand, you know, in a 30-day session, we've only got certain types of bills that will actually go. So if, in fact, the bills are not determined to be germane, it could be that we don't actually get a chance to move forward on them. That doesn't mean, however, that they're not serving a very important purpose, which is the discussions I've already had amongst colleagues here about, wait a minute, what are we doing?
Right.
It's an awareness issue that's important.
Right. So really these bills are kind of the vehicle to have this debate as to what this decision really means, because the legislature doesn't have a role, right, in this decision, it seems like.
Yeah, it's a good question, and I think that's one of the issues. You know, the federal government all the time comes in and tries to tell us at the legislative level what to do. And often it's with carrots and sticks, and you know, if you don't do this, we're going to take this money away, or here's a pot of money and, you know, move forward with it. And the question is, and I think there's an open question about what the role of the legislature is. I will say I've been on the Interim Water Committee since I came to the legislature in 2004. And so we've heard hearings on this issue every year, updates and the, you know, the quote unquote struggles that they've been having trying to figure out the direction to move forward. That in itself, to me, is an indication that there is not a clear consensus here on the direction the state should take. And so I just think that having a state agency, the Interstate Stream Commission, unilaterally making this decision causes me some concern, because it's not just a Gila issue. It really is a statewide issue, you know, for all the reasons we've talked about.
Well, Senator Wirth, I know you have some meetings here, so I need to let you go. Thanks so much for joining us here on Earth Matters, KURU 89.1 FM. And I look forward to this debate in the session. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Good morning, Silver City. Today we're bringing to you live here on KURU 89.1 FM. A New Mexico Senate press conference on New Mexico water issues. Part one of the Voices of New Mexico press conference series. New Mexico is in the midst of a long-term drought, and Governor Susana Martinez has expressed her desire to make water infrastructure projects a priority during this year's legislative session. However, the governor has not released much information about what projects are on her priority list. A recent Albuquerque Journal article reported that New Mexico faces $1 billion in water infrastructure needs over the next 20 years. Meanwhile, here in southwestern New Mexico, the New Mexico Interstate Stream Commission wants to spend $300 million to $500 million on a Gila River diversion project to take water from our state's last free-flowing river and saddle.
And I believe the conference is going to start momentarily.
My name is Peter Wirth. I'm a state senator from District 25. This is the first in a series of what we're calling Voices of New Mexico press conferences by the Senate Democratic Caucus. During these conferences, what we're going to do is share stories from New Mexicans throughout the state who are going to give a firsthand account of the challenges that we all are facing. Democratic senators will then discuss specific issues and bills we are working on. This morning, we are going to talk about water. Let me put things in context, and then we'll get right into it. We are in year 11 of an extended drought. The last 3 years have been extreme, with no precipitation in the month of January. It's shaping up to be another bad year. In this environment, it is critical that Democrats, Republicans work together to give all New Mexicans the tools they need to save water, to share water, and conserve at all levels. Water cannot be a political issue. This morning I will start with Senator Cervantes. Not wearing his Senate hat, but wearing his hat as a member of a fourth-generation family farm operation in Domiana County, and he's going to put things in perspective from his part of the world. Senator Cervantes.
Is this close to this is the photograph of the Rio Grande River on the western boundary of our fourth-generation farm near La Mesa, New Mexico, about a mile west of Chopas, for those of you who know the area. This is what the Rio Grande looks like and has looked like for 10 and a half months out of the last 12, and largely the last 2 years. The farmers who are promised by the state based on priority administration and historic use promised 4.5 feet of water on our acreage to grow our crops. Last 2 years, they've received about 4 inches, about a tenth of that. And the only reality of farming in the lower Rio Grande, the only thing that survives to date, is largely groundwater pumping. I'm here today to advocate for the agricultural economy in the state of New Mexico and the recognition and the importance that it plays in our valley. I'll tell you that there are about 40,000 acres of pecans in the lower Rio Grande Valley. We met last year with the city engineer's office, and they told us those trees are in jeopardy and likely to die unless there is some very drastic changes in our water policies and our ability to manage water in the state. And with the death of about a third of the agricultural use of land in the Rio Grande Valley, comes with that corresponding loss of property values. Farm loans become impossible to service. The economies that are all turned by agriculture in lower part of our state, New Mexico State University's mission itself, all become in jeopardy. So we're here as Democrats to once again advocate for sound, good water policy that largely has been ignored by this administration over the last few years. Over the last few years, I've made a point when I speak of pointing out that never once in the state of the state has Governor Martinez ever even mentioned the word water, not once. This year, after maybe a year of hearing me say that, she mentioned water, but unfortunately, the governor's approach is only capillary. There are no policy initiatives, no bill initiatives, nothing in terms of actually solving and managing our water crisis in the state of New Mexico has been advanced this session from this administration, and we cannot continue to survive as a state until we find that leadership and begin to show that leadership both from the legislature and elsewhere in the state, try and solving the type of problem that you see here in this photograph. Thank you.
Thank you. Next up, I'd like to invite Ramon Romero and Rudy Martinez from the Agua Fria Water Board to talk about how water impacts their specific area and the needs that they have. Gentlemen, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having us. My name is Ramon Romero, Agua Fria Water Association. Rudy Martinez, Vice President of Agua Fria Water Association. What we have is we have distribution systems that have started and are incomplete. We're in desperate need of looping the systems so we can circulate our waters. A lot of the waters are deadlined. The only way we circulate them sometimes is through flush hydrants. There's a lot of vacant properties in Agua Fria, as you know. Some of you know Agua Fria is a historical village, the first one, THC, in the country that some of us brought up. It was passed in the legislative session. Also, there's vacant lands in Agua Fria, and a lot of vacant lands have no water. There's been generations, there are six, seven generations, kids, that the properties are too far, too vacant, and too expensive to drill wells. They're pretty much moving to Rio Rancho. They're moving to Albuquerque. They can't even establish themselves in the village. So our motive is to run lateral lines through all these vacant lands and accommodate these people with water so that the generations can come and live in the village as some of us have already done. So we're pretty much updated our system, our well system, maintain our tanks. We're drilling a new well as I speak. But still, the aquifers are going down. A lot of people have wells that are pretty much shallow at 95 feet, 100 feet, and they're going dry, as you know, the aquifers are dropping. So what we want to do is run lines, like I said. We're wanting to accommodate the youth and trying to keep our youth in our village instead of moving away from our town, you know. So, Rudy, can you have anything to add to that?
Well, Ramon mentioned already that there are a lot of families in the village that have wells because the water lines are not extended to their properties or to front their properties. And the wells are drying out or are near drying out because of the drought. And we have no, and they have come to us to get water from us, but we have no way of being able to fund the line extensions to be able to serve these people that are actually running out of water.
Well, pretty much we're in desperate need of accommodating our generations that are coming up. And pretty much that's just our plea is we can have more funds to extend our system and complete what has been started but is yet not finished. Thank you.
Great. Thank you both for being here and putting faith on the challenges that we all have. Next up, I'd like to have Ramon Lucero speak. He's a member of the El Valle Water Alliance. And it's going to talk about some of the legal structures that they're seeking to change and why that's important. So just come right on up here if you could, Ramon. Thank you for being here.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. Again, my name is Ramon Lucero. I'm the president of an organization called the Environmental Water Alliance. The Environmental Water Alliance is comprised of 13 municipal domestic water consumers associations that came together back in 2005 to actually merge. And the reason that we came together to merge was that we were facing challenges that we weren't able to complete as single water associations. Our memberships are anywhere between 15 connections and all the way to 118 connections. So with all the new new regulations and policies that we're facing with funding, it became really difficult for us to have the capacity to actually qualify for some of the funding as we were organized and to try to replace our aging infrastructure. Similar to what Mr. Ramon and Rudy talked about from Alofria, our systems are between 40 and 60 years old, and all of the infrastructure really needs to be replaced. As a result of coming together in the merger, we've been able to transcend some of the challenges that we had as individual and autonomous water associations and qualify for some of the funding that's available to us. However, in order to qualify for some of the funding, we need to spend between $200,000 and $300,000 before we even come to the table to qualify for the funding, just because of all the requirements. We need to do preliminary engineering reports, environmental reports, asset management plans, operation and maintenance plans. And unless we do all of those things, our funding applications, we can't qualify for funding.
We lost the feed. We'll try to get him back real quick.
You've been listening to a live press conference from the Roundhouse in Santa Fe on KURU 89.1 FM.
Well, next, we're going to have two speakers discussing the impact of the decisions we make with respect to water, specifically focused on the Gila River. Toner Mitchell, who is a lifelong fisherman now, the public land coordinator for Trout Unlimited, is going to speak first. And then Sissy McAndrews, who's the Southwest New Mexico Green Chamber of Commerce, is going to talk about the economic impact of these choices. Toner.
Hi, thank you for being here today, and thanks for welcoming me. I represent a number of groups. I mean, first of all, I'm a born and raised New Mexican, so I think I speak for a lot of New Mexicans as the men preceding me had made clear. Water is very important to us. I'm also a fishing guide, but I also work for Trout Unlimited, and we try our best to protect cold water fisheries, of which there are many in New Mexico. Representing sportsmen, I just want to make clear, if you don't know already, the value of hunting and fishing in our state is extremely high. In 2011, sportsmen, hunters, and fishermen generated $579 million in spending for our economy. That doesn't include rafters, bird watchers, lots of other outdoors people who find extreme value in our great outdoors. Now, regarding the Gila, it pertains to a lot of things that I'm doing around the state. We're restoring a lot of cold water fisheries for the interest of sportsman interests, but the other thing, if we have healthy watersheds, then we have healthy acequias, we have urban water is protected, and that kind of thing. So the value of taking care of watersheds it ripples downstream. Now, I'm in favor, in terms of the Gila, of an investment in proper water management. That would be non-diversion alternatives for a proposed a Gila water project. The project that has been proposed to dam the river and create some kind of water supply there, it makes no sense on any level. Primarily the environment, that's not controversial, but what I have a hard time with is the opportunity cost that are incurred by such a project. For example, we have the governor has proposed a river stewards program that she hopes to fund for $1.5 million. That program would invest in local and small watershed projects for the benefit of a lot of users, and I, as a sportsman, would love for that to be invested into the full amount. $1.5 million is the low end of what it would cost us to be able to divert the water for this Gila Dam project. It makes no sense. And that's only one aspect. Other aspects include just how much money the project would cost in terms of building a dam, building the infrastructure for this. And that is money that could be invested in watershed restoration, which would help local communities it would help our children stay at home if we're investing in those communities, kind of bolstering our water infrastructure. So I think from a sportsman perspective, non-diversion makes a great deal of sportsman sense. I like catching fish and we like getting meat for the freezer, but mainly for economic sense. So I hope we can think proactively as we go into this drought and start investing in things like the non-diversion alternatives for the U.S. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Sissy McAndrew. I'm the Executive Director of the Southwest New Mexico Green Chamber of Commerce. We're based in Silver City, and we are also responsible for keeping the visitor open 7 days a week. The Gila region where I live is a unique place. With the gateway to the nation's first wilderness area, the Gila Wilderness, part of the 3.3 million acre Gila National Forest. Our rich cultural history spans the centuries from the Mogollon people who left behind the Gila cliff dwellings to the Apache whose fearless leader Geronimo was born in the area, to farming, ranching, mining, and a thriving arts community. We are also home to New Mexico's last free-flowing river, the Gila River. Recreation and tourism are primary economic drivers of my community, generating $34 to $61 million in each Southwest New Mexico county, according to the 2011 Economic Impact of Tourism in New Mexico report. The Southwest New Mexico Green Chamber supports sustainable triple bottom line planning, which takes into account the social, the environmental factors, in addition to the traditional financial bottom line. The Chamber is dedicated to maintaining our unique sense of place, our vibrant community, and irreplaceable environment, including the Gila River. However, the Gila is threatened by major water diversion and pipeline projects being considered by the New Mexico Interstate Stream Commission under the Arizona Water Settlements Act. The latest estimates show that the project could cost between $300 and $500 million. But because the federal subsidy available under the Arizona Water Settlements Act won't cover all of the construction costs, the New Mexico taxpayers could be left picking up the tab for $200 to $350 million. This project could also impair this wild river that supports abundant wildlife and attracts outdoor recreationalists, spending time and money in New Mexico. The Southwest New Mexico Green Chamber of Commerce, along with our statewide New Mexico Green Chamber, the Las Cruces Green Chamber, and more than 300 businesses across the state, signed a letter opposing a costly Gila River diversion and in support of cost-effective conservation alternatives that can meet our region's water supply and needs now and well into the future, while also maintaining the economic benefits from recreation and tourism that the Gila River provides. Senate Bill 89 and Senate Bill 90, introduced last week by Senator Wirth and Senator Howie Morales, would make Arizona Water Settlements Act funding available for cost-effective water supply projects that meet our needs immediately, and would also ensure that New Mexico's budget is not burdened by hundreds of millions of dollars in costs for an unnecessary Gila River diversion project. These are fiscally responsible approaches to meet southwestern New Mexico's long-term water needs. It respects our region's desire to maintain our unique community and our environment, and it will fuel our future economic development that will move our communities forward. Thank you very much.
Thank you. So as you can see, we've got an incredibly wide range of water issues on our plate. This session, as Senator Cervantes mentioned, Governor Martinez has decided to focus on water infrastructure and $112 million in capital outlay to address water infrastructure needs. What I'd like to do is bring our President Pro Tem, Senator Papin, up to talk about water planning, what we've done and what we're doing, and also to put this request for capital outlay
in context of the process that we've had in place. Senator Pacon.
Thank you, Senator Warren. I don't think that there's anybody in the state of New Mexico who doesn't want water planning and figuring out how we're going to best spend the water money that we have. We have many projects out there at the present time, sitting in the Department of Environment, sitting in the Water Trust Board, other areas, that the money is still sitting there to be able to do these projects and move them forward. So I think when we're talking about $112 million going into water projects, we already have a huge amount of that money already sitting there waiting to be used for projects. So we've had to return money to the federal government. We need to make sure that the dollars we put there, that we're putting there, and they're going to work. I think from my standpoint anyway, to put another $112 million out there, when we have to assess what we have out there and where those projects already are going and see what we need to do. I'll be carrying a bill, and Representative McMillan, I believe, in the House is carrying a bill. No, it's Rudy Martinez. Representative Rudy Martinez will be carrying a bill for the WRRI Water Research Institute at New Mexico State University, and that has a $2 million price tag. They do a tremendous amount of research on water, where the water goes, but we also need to find out exactly what amount of money that we have out there and for what projects. While I applaud the governor for the money that she wants to put out there, I think we need to see a list. We need to see what those projects are, how they correspond and dovetail into what we're doing. So we need to make sure what we're doing is that we're making projects whole, and we're addressing those projects across the state that we know are desperate for water. I think conservation of water is imperative. I was told this summer that Albuquerque has done such a good job with their conservation that they're going to have to raise their water rates in order to pay for the operation because they've conserved so much water so that the rates aren't just putting out the dollars that they need. And that's a good thing. So we need to be looking at it. I think we're talking about, I believe Senator Worth talked about the drought. You know, we live in a desert. And so drought is not necessarily unusual to us. It can be worse than normal. But we need to also know that we do live in a desert and that drought is part of what we live with always. And I think we have a lot of good ideas out there. I think Senator Phil Griego has chaired the Water Committee. Senator Cervantes will be chairing the New Mexico Finance Authority interim committee next year. He is chairman of the Drought Committee. And so I think we are looking at this. We're working at it. We need to put our dollars to work, but we also need to assess what dollars we have and where those are right now and what they'll be doing.
Thank you, Senator Pacon. Also, very shortly, Senator Michael Sanchez, who had to step out, will be introducing a bill to deal with the question of prioritization of water. One of the things the governor's proposal has done is force all of us to look at the existing structure. We've got seven different entities now that are responsible for funding water projects. They're not coordinated. We spent over $1 billion in the last 12 years on water. And we've ended up reverting dollars back because systems haven't been ready to go. And so Senator Sanchez has a plan to centralize the water planning through the Water Trust Board. And again, the Water Trust Board is under the Mortgage Finance Authority, and what it's done is taken the politics out of water and allowed a nonpartisan look at different projects and a prioritization. So Senator Sanchez will be introducing this bill along those lines here in the next day or so. Next, I'd like to have Senator Griego come up, and he's been the chair of the Interim Water Committee, and before I chaired Conservation, was the chair of Senate Conservation, and certainly has a district with huge water needs.
Thank you, Senator. Good morning, and it's a pleasure to be here to talk about the water this situation that we're facing here in New Mexico. I've been chair of the Water and Natural Resources Committee for a while now, and as everyone here knows, and Senator Pickett sits on the committee, that the problems with water are great. And I'm hoping that through this bill that Senator Sanchez is working on, that we alleviate and eliminate a lot of the restrictions, the rules and regulations that these small water associations have got to follow in order to get their applications approved. As Ramon was saying earlier today, it's $200,000 for expenditures just to prepare themselves to get the monies that they need. What we're working on right now, and one of the other things that, and I don't know whether this is the proper time to bring it up, but one of the other things that we have been involved in, and I know that Senator Worth and Senator Cervantes and I and Senator Pittman have been attending meetings in regards to the adjudication of the Lower Pecos. And that has stalled in the mud. You know, it seems like we haven't gotten anywhere. And we've met with the Administrative Office of the Court. We've met with the Justice Supreme Court. And just
sorry, once again, it seems we've lost them. Just hold on. I'm going to turn you on to Nathan while I try to get him back on the phone.
Yeah, well, you've been listening to KURU 89.1 FM, and hopefully we'll be joining back in with this press conference momentarily to listen to the important discussion about the Gila River and the water diversion projects that have been proposed recently for the Gila. So it looks like here we go.
Kind of take the ride for the creation of the Upper Pecos River Public Water Works Authority, providing for powers, duties, and the authority. They did that. They did this in the Lower Rio Grande. And they gave the smaller associations an opportunity to gather together as an authority and to create a funding source and an an income-generating source so that they could bond their small associations through the Mortgage Finance Authority to go in there and acquire the necessary dollars to move forward for their smaller associations. We created a regional authority with the alliance, and it has been working very well. What we want to do is what they did in the Lower Rio Grande, is create an authority, which will also create an income source and also the ability for these small associations to bond themselves, because the $10,000, the $5,000, the $15,000 to give for capital outlay just barely touches the surface of the needs and wants of these small associations. So we'll be working with that, working with Senator Worth and Senator Cervantes, and to make sure that we get some of this stuff done.
Thank you, Senator Griego. Senator Rodriguez is a member of the Senate Finance Committee. Also, the Agua Fria water needs that were discussed are in her district. I'd like her just to say a few words about what she can.
I was writing a few notes as I sat there, and I thought, wow, you know, here water is our most precious resource, and yet it's the most in jeopardy in this state. And, you know, I'll speak about Agua Fria. Even the name made me think this morning of Agua Fria, cold water, and yet we may not have water, whether it's hot or cold, in Agua Fria, because it is a very, very sad situation, what we see here. We have the only traditional historic community decimated by law, and the only village that is left right here, at least in my district in Santa Fe, especially with the designated historical title. And I recall from way back in the 80s when I was first a county commissioner, that was one of the things that was brought up back then. Imagine how many years back already, that there were great water needs. There were cesspools, there were septic tanks that were contaminating the water. Well, guess what? Today, we still have them. Senator Worth, members of the committee, and the audience, we still have cesspools in Agua Fria and septic tanks. I have sponsored legislation for many years. Almost every year, I sponsor legislation and provide some funding, as much as I can, with capital outlay for this water distribution system, so we can finally implement and provide the infrastructure for laterals for distribution of water
a lateral many pipes and lines that go through different areas of the village so we can adequately distribute water. But keep in mind that the wells in Awasia, because of the drought, as has been mentioned before, are now being depleted. And so how does the Domestic Water Association provide water? Well, you would think that maybe through a pipeline that the County of Santa Fe and the City of Santa Fe have agreed through a special agreement to deliver some water to Agua Fria, not for free. Agua Fria, the members there would have to pay for this, but only in cases of an emergency, and also it is limited to a certain amount. So that's one of the situations. The other situation, which is a problem here, is that even if the city or the county, through this agreement, delivers some water, there are no lateral lines. How is the water going to get to these neighborhoods, the families? And that's a problem. So this year I have a bill, another bill for $500,000 for capital outlay. I don't know if we can even get anything. But one thing that surprised me is that here we're asking for $112 million. The governor's office is asking for that. We're trying to figure out how we're going to do that and how we're going to prioritize the project. But not once is the Agua Fria village mentioned. As a matter of fact, most of the time, Agua Fria is left out. I think it's because it's kind of a quiet community there. It cherishes and preserves its values, and it just truly has faith. It's a traditional community that has faith in their leaders, in their community, in their legislators, that we will take care of the policies. We'll take care of the needs, the laws that need to be implemented to be able to finally deliver clean water, not only to preserve water, because we need to ensure that this water that we're preserving is, in fact, protected also from contamination. Many times we tend to focus a lot on preservation, but not necessarily on how we protect it. So that's where we are. I wanted to thank Rudy Martinez and Ramon Romero. Ramon is the president of the Water Board here in Agua Fria, and Rudy has been the guru, truly, for educating everyone about water issues. And these are two people, plus other members of the board and the community, that put their whole life towards volunteer work for Agua Fria and the village. I wanted just one last thing, Mr. Chairman, is that this Domestic Water Association and Domestic Water System survives only on membership dues. And somebody mentioned earlier about the Water Board. I'd like to say that we applied for funds from the Water Board, Water Trust Board, and we finally, after years, thought we got a grant. It was approved as a grant. Well, when the paperwork got signed, guess what? It wasn't all a grant. Somehow the grant category faded away. And now Agua Fria has a little bit of a grant, approximately, I don't remember, $340,000 or something like that. But the rest, Agua Fria has to pay back over 20 years. This is completely tying the members to paying back a water bill for the state that was initially supposed to be a grant. This is not acceptable. So there are problems here that we need to correct with respect to the policies of the Water Board. And I understand that there's a move to streamline the process, so hopefully we can finally put that behind us. But I know there, Mr. Chairman, there are several things to talk about, and I won't prolong this, but just wanted to mention that one last thing is that lawsuits at the state level. You know, we read about them all the time. So we are still getting sued here in the state of New Mexico because other states, especially Texas, believe that we're using their water, their allocation, and so on. So all this is going to come to play when the courts rule in one way or another, and to see what kind of an impact it's going to have in New Mexico, and individually it's going to trickle down to our district. So we truly have to start thinking progressively and doing things to, you know, to protect not only today but our future in water. And I know I've got to go, Senator. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Senator. And again, I think one of the frustrations that we all are experiencing is we have $112 million in supposed capital outlay requests. Where is the list? You know, we appropriate money as the legislature, and yet we've not seen the list of projects. This system, again, cannot become political, and I think there's real concern that that's what happened here.
Finally, I'd like to have Senator Morales come up and talk about specifically the Gila and the choices in his part of the state.
I want to say thank you for joining us here today and the leadership that our colleagues have really done working for years to be able to make sure that we can have this discussion in an honest manner. And I appreciate the opportunity to be able to go through and share some of the history of what has led us up to this point in dealing with the Gila River. I'm appreciative that Mr. Lange brought this because the picture says 1,000 words. But this picture here shows the effect of millions of lives here in the state of New Mexico. And so when we talk about that and we talk about the big issues, we know that education is a huge issue, health care is a huge issue, and water. And in our Economic Rural Development Committee over the interim, we talked about different issues in dealing with economic development, broadband, roads, the infrastructure that's needed, and water. And so when we talk about these things, I'm glad that we're able to go through and answer some questions for you, because in dealing with the Gila, born and raised there in the southwest part of New Mexico, went and played at the Gila, had the opportunity to be able to see when we had many good years with that. But as we go through and talk about that, in 2008, I sponsored a bill, Senate Bill 488, and it was actually authored by the great Senator Ben Altamirano, who came before me. He passed away right before the 2008 legislative session started. And in that bill, he wanted to make sure in the language that went through that put $1.5 million to go through with a cost-effective manner that will balance the historical and future uses of water. And that language doesn't ring true so much today, because when we talk about that and we have the opportunity of what we're going to do, the bill that Senator Worth has shown the leadership on and I was glad to sponsor him is to be able to go through and talk about that economic and that viable approach to be able to have the use of water in a cost-effective manner. And so when we talk about the discussions on what could be the option, it really isn't the cost-effective manner to go through and have the diversion take place that would cost anywhere between $300 and $500 million. My concern, sitting on the Finance Committee, is the burden that that will place on the state's budget or on the taxpayers across the state of New Mexico. We want to ensure that we do have a cost-effective approach, because with $1 billion shortfall over the next 20 years, it isn't a cost-effective approach to be able to go through and divert and have such a high cost of a project like this when we can have other alternatives. So as we go forward and have more discussion, I'm glad to be able to connect the pieces of what was done in the past and what we're going to do in the future. And I stand with my colleagues as we go through and we talk about the $112 million request. I just cannot see funding a request that doesn't have a strategic approach to make sure that we go through and have the needs met across all the state of New Mexico, whether it's in the southeast, the southwest, the central, northeast, or northwest part of the state. We want to make sure that we have a strategic approach that meets the needs and make sure that we have the dollars going for the most affected areas in our state. So I thank you for that, and I apologize that I'll have to leave early. I do have another head conference down at the Rotunda, but I know if there's any questions with Senate Bill 88 and Senate Bill 90, Senator Worth will be able to address those as well. So thank you.
Now, thank you. To wind up, I'd like to have Senator Cervantes come back, this time wearing his senator hat, and just kind of put things in perspective, and then we'll be here to answer any questions. Who joined us. Yesterday, the Supreme Court told New Mexico that it's going to proceed with the Texas lawsuit, which at a meeting Peter and Mary Kay and I attended, Bill, you attended last year, the state engineer and the attorney general's office said would never proceed, that there was no merit to it, and that lawsuit was failed, and apparently the Supreme Court sees otherwise. If the Supreme Court does what Texas is asking and stops off the groundwater pumping, then the view from our farm will be the view of the entirety of southern New Mexico, and the consequences couldn't be greater, and they're timely. We heard from the Supreme Court just yesterday that lawsuit is going to proceed with the Supreme Court pronounced. I want to reemphasize what Peter said. We are in day 8 of a 30-day legislative session, and we have no list of projects from the governor. We spend the entire year on the New Mexico Finance Authority, working with the Water Trust Board, taking submittals of projects to have a list of projects submitted for 2014. Hundreds of projects worth millions and millions of dollars that are vetted by the Water Trust Board. They're studied by the state engineer, by cabinet secretaries, the Department of Environment, state agricultural secretary. These projects are studied and vetted to meet the criteria that this governor set for herself and that every governor comes in and says they're going to do. They want top quality projects that are timely, that are going to be completely funded, that are shovel ready, that are well planned and well thought through. And yet here we are on day 8. Of a 30-day session, and we have no idea what these projects are other than what we read in
in the Albuquerque Journal or in the media, in the press. I can tell you that when the governor and the lieutenant governor went down to Las Cruces and announced their project that they intend to do and did so in the media, I can tell you they're not on this list. These are projects that were never submitted to the Water Trust Board. They've never been vetted, studied, or considered by the Water Trust Board. And so we'll wait till maybe day 9, or the remainder of 30 days, to try and figure out what this administration intends to do about water. But I can assure you that capital outlay spending, replacing wells, does not address the fundamental problem. We have more demand on water than we have water. And it's up to this administration to take the state engineer's office, to follow our own state constitution and our own state laws, and begin to manage the water that we have for the needs that we have, and assure that this condition in southern New Mexico does not become the condition statewide.
Well, thank you. So that concludes. I think you can see the incredible range of issues facing our state. We'd be happy to take any questions to the members, or also, again, to the citizen participants. We really appreciate, you know, your willingness to come and share your story. So thank you. Any questions? Yes, Jeff. No, we've not received a message, but Senate Bill 89 has been determined to be germane because it does involve a funding question. Senate Bill 89 deals with the $82 million. It basically states that the $82 million for non-diversionary projects need to be done first. So we are going to have a discussion about that bill in the Senate Conservation Committee. Senate Bill 90, which basically says let's not move forward with a diversion project until we know where the money is going to come from, was not ruled germane, but I will be introducing a memorial along those lines again to express the intent of the legislature and have the discussion on that issue.
You are listening to Earth Matters, a Gila Membris Community Radio exclusive program. I think it was really interesting to hear the way that conference unfolded. We had about 45 minutes of solid speaker after speaker after speaker. Again, the conference sort of began with State Senator Peter Wirth explaining the two different bills that he has introduced in the Roundhouse legislative session. Again, they were Senate Bill 89 and Senate Bill 90, and they do pertain to allocating funds for the Gila River Diversion Project. And as Senator Wirth noted, it could take at least $200 million to divert water from the Gila River. So Senator Wirth introduced this legislation. Our own state senator, Howie Morales, has co-sponsored both Senate Bill 89 and Senate Bill 90, which is great for Silver City and Grant County residents who are concerned about diversion projects. And Governor Susana Martinez has expressed her desire to make water infrastructure projects a priority during this year's legislative session. However, as was noted during the press conference, the governor has not released much information about what projects are on her priority list. A recent Albuquerque Journal article reported that New Mexico faces $1 billion in water infrastructure needs over the next 20 years. Yet, meanwhile, here in southwestern New Mexico, the New Mexico Interstate Stream Commission wants to spend between $200 million and $500 million on a Gila River diversion project to take water from our state's last free-flowing river and saddle the New Mexico taxpayer with a big bill for the construction. So we are listening to Earth Matters on KURU 89.1 FM.